Today we're going to go a step further with the thought of created for more. And I'm going to piggyback on the message last week about more than a slave, more than your thoughts. Today is, I'm going to take that and say, you're more than you thought. Say, I'm more than I thought. So let me give you a few principles here as we go forward. You are more than you realize. No matter what you thought, no matter what you've conceptualized, no matter what you said and thought about, you are more than you realize because you are designed by God for a heavenly purpose. Make no mistake of that, Jeff. You've been designed by God for a heavenly purpose. It may be small, it may be large, it may be great. Whatever it is, you've been designed to do that particular job. And I want you to realize that in all this and what people think about you, people's opinions, somebody say their opinions. This is a touchy subject. The opinions of others hold little weight because their thoughts about you do not penetrate your inner being. Did you catch that? Thoughts, like, here's the thing. I care what you think about me, but what you think about me will not control my or dictate my destiny. Does that make sense? So I may care, but I know that whatever you're thinking will not dictate my destiny because God, I'm in God's hand and His control. But on the other flip of the coin, I may not care per se of what people think because it doesn't get in my inner being, but what you think about yourself goes directly to your heart and shapes your reality. What you think about yourself goes directly to your heart and shapes your reality. If you don't think that's true, sit around and just check your thoughts sometime and what you think about yourself or what you think about your family or what you think about your business, because what you're thinking is exactly where you're headed. Amen? Now, y'all be vocal with me today because I don't want to go to sleep up here. So here's the key. How many people know a key unlocks a door? Here's a key. Your self-perception is the defining factor in your life. Your self-perception is the defining factor in your life. What do you mean by that, Bishop? It determines your success or failure, your vitality or stagnation. Do I need to slow up? It determines your success or your failure, your vitality or your stagnation, your strength or your weakness. Ultimately, the power to shape your future lies in how you choose to see yourself. And what did I tell you last week? No matter what you see, God sees something different. Just remember, no matter today, because we always lean on what, this is my story, this is your story, this is what I'm walking in, this is what I'm living in. So I feel to say this, no matter what your story is or what it is to become, God is changing it. Say back to me, God is changing my story. See, I thought my story was one way. Speaking of me, I thought it was this way. This is the way I would end my story. But God has said, this is not the way you end your story. This is the way you will prolong and go forward, and this is how you will accomplish it. Someone said, Bishop, are you through? No, I'm not through. I'm just getting started. But I want to get started where God wants me to start. I want to accomplish what He wants me to accomplish. Because God, no matter what I think about me, Kathy, or what I think about myself, or what I think about others, hear me when I tell you, God is changing my story. Now, how about you? Say it back to me. God is changing my story. I want to read you a few verses that really hit me hard starting this week. Because I was thinking of myself, thinking about where I'm headed, thinking about my life. Has anybody ever sat and done that? Here's some verses the Lord placed in my heart, and I'll give you a little illumination on it. Possibly a little revelation, I don't know. Psalms 27, verse 1 through 14. Psalms 27, 1 through 14. And it starts out like this, and this is where he really got into my spirit. The Lord is. God is. Who is he? He is. No matter what you think, he is. Whatever your situation you're in, Sonia, he is. He can make the crooked path straight. He can level the mountains of circumstances in your life. So watch this. The Lord is my light. And they hit me hard right there when he said, the Lord is my light. Well, you think about a room and a light bulb going off. But understand, when he says the Lord is my light, number one, he speaks about revelation. He is revelation. But then he took it a step further with me and he said, the Lord is the revealed power. Revealed power. So stay with me on this, because it's important for some of us going through some difficult times. And remember, the thought is more than you think, more than your thoughts. The Lord is my light, his revealed power. And then he says, and my salvation. The Greek word for salvation is soteria, which means more than what you think. It means more than just spiritual deliverance. It also implies healing, preservation, and restoration. What does that do? It brings a wholeness to every aspect of your body, soul, and spirit. So something that my wife said to me this week, and I want to use it right here, is in this, we weren't talking about this particular verses of Scripture, but you need to make it personal. The Lord is Alan's light. You need to put your name in there. The Lord is Alan's light, Floyd's light, Randy's light, Ronnie's light, Chris's light, Dolores's light. You hear what I'm saying? You need to do it this week. Take these verses. The Lord is Alan's light. The Lord is his revealed power. The Lord is his perseverance, preservation. The Lord is his restoration. You getting that now? And he brings wholeness into my body, soul, and spirit. Alan, say your name. Then he says, why is that? Well, if this is true, then whom shall I fear? I have nothing to fear, because this is who he is. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? How many of you walk in fear? You're afraid of things. Why? Because he's the all-encompassing power. When the wicked, even mine enemies, some of y'all got some enemies? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because God is my all-encompassing power. He says, then a host should encamp, if a host, an army, should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing has Alan desired of the Lord. So you personalize this. Anywhere it says I, me, or whatever, or myself, it's you. Though he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, Alan has desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that Alan may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, you know, you don't need a life preserver until you fall into water. But hear me when I tell you, you better have that life preserver on the boat. You may not think you need God, but watch you, when you get in trouble, the first thing you're going to say, oh Lord, Jesus. Have you ever stumped your toe and first thing you say, oh God, oh Jesus? Not a bad thing to say, because you're going to need some help. Don't use curse words, because that's not going to help you. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in his big place, in his big home. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me and set me upon a rock. I'll be steadfast in his pavilion. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. That's Alan. That's you. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when Alan cries with my voice. Put your name there. When I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I will seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The psalmist understood what he was saying. When my father and my mother forsake me. Has anybody ever had a family member forsake you? Is anybody going to be honest here today? When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He'll hold me close. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in thy plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, or false witnesses are risen up against me, as such as breathe out cruelty. Why are you saying these verses today, Bishop? Because God gave them to me and said, this is it. Watch this. Alan had fainted. Well, there's I there. Alan had fainted. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Some people think they're only going to see the Lord when they die. I don't have to die to see him. I saw him this morning. I'm seeing him right now. I'm watching him work right now. I feel his revealed power now. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never let go of my hand. No matter how bad it is, God has stepped into my bad and brought peace. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now watch this. Wait, wait, wait. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How are you going to get strength in your heart? You have to wait on the Lord. Wait, I'm going to say it again. Wait, 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 wait. When you've waited some more, wait on the Lord, because he's going to strengthen your heart, give you the ability to keep waiting. What does that mean to you? What do these verses mean to me? This means to me that no matter what life brings me, no whatever moves of life I'll go through, Pastor Mike, God has my back. I'm not worried about someone else having my back. It's nice to have friends. It's nice to have people that serve and help. But truly, when it comes down to the final analysis, it's all about God having your back. In times of trouble, he has my back. In times of celebratory times, he has my back. No matter if I'm partying or crying, God has my back. No matter if I'm in church, out of church, under church, over church, God has my back. And God has your back all the time. Somebody say all the time. And you have to see it that we're more than we think. We're more than what we thought. Everybody here is more than you thought. You've cut yourself short. You don't see who you really are. You see, I know who I really am. Really? Do you really know who you are? In Christ Jesus? I love this verse here because I found it this morning early, which goes on with 1 Corinthians. But it says, Isaiah 64, verse 4 in the New International Version, since ancient times, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you. You haven't seen anything like him. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of the man. Remember that verse? Well, this is one that's sort of like it. No eye has seen any God besides you. There's none other like you. Who acts, that means he goes to work, that means he has your back. who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and be of good courage. And he will strengthen your heart. How many people need their heart strengthened today? Listen, if you see what's coming on the earth, you see the troubles in the nations, your heart's going to need to be strengthened. Because the Bible says in the last days that men's hearts will fail them for fear. For those things that are coming upon us. People are more than they thought. Let me give you a little illustration. There was a little group called, you may have remembered them, called the Children of Israel. The disobedient church, I call them. The church that wouldn't listen. Their pastor got sick and tired of them because they never listened. For 40 years, they never listened, Pat. And I've got to say, I've preached behind this pulpit right here for 40 years, and very few people have listened. From the thousands of people that's come through this door, very few people have listened because it's all about me, myself, and I. It's not about the greater good. It's not about the corporate body. It's not about Jesus Christ. It's about me. Now, Butch, I want to tell you, it's not about me. And really, it's not about you. It's about us, the body. The children of Israel bound in under Egypt's power for 400 years. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know even that their thought process was all skewed by slavery. They're bound. They're in slavery. It started out, though, Floyd, as a plan for preservation under Joseph. They're going to be preserved. They're going to be helped in the time of famine. Do y'all remember the story? If not, we'll preach it sometime. But it started out as preservation, and it became a nightmare of reality. Sometimes what starts out looking good doesn't turn out that way. Collis, am I right? It looks real good, but if it looks too good, it probably is. It started out real good, then became a nightmare of reality. A nightmare, a nightmare, a nightmare. From salvation to slavery. And their thoughts, their mindset, totally embraced slavery. They were happy with the garlic and the leeks and the melons and the taskmasters. They knew everybody. They felt comfortable where they were. So they just stayed where they were, and they had a mindset, I'm a slave, but I'm being taken care of. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a slave just to be taken care of. Now watch your thought process. From salvation to slavery. And here comes this man, Moses, saying, I'm going to set you free. Because God said to him, tell Pharaoh to set my people free. But it was more than just their bodies being free, Jeff. Their minds needed to be set free. God can set you free, but if your mind is bound, Dolores, you're still bound. Sometimes we need to pray more instead of the physical body, we need to pray for the mind. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? My mother used to say to me, Alan, what were you thinking? I said, Mama, I wasn't thinking. That's the problem. I was just feeling. And sometimes feeling gets you in big trouble. Watch this. You see, it wasn't God's plan for them to be in slavery. They were more than a slave. They were more than just a band of people doing the work of Pharaoh. They were more than they thought. Look at the scriptures in Exodus 6, verse 5. In the King James Version, I'll read this. Exodus 6, 5 through 8. And I have also heard, this is God speaking, now watch this. I've heard the groanings of the children of Israel. But why are they groaning? Because, you know what, they got happy where they were. Whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. And I remembered my covenant. Wherefore say the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now this is a promise. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with a great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. See what he's saying? I'm going to bring you out. He took them in for preservation. He's going to take them out of slavery. And I will bring you into a land. I'll bring you into a land concerning the which I swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Who is it? I'm the Lord. I'm going to give you something you've never had before, and I'm going to give it to you because I love you. But you're going to have to change your thought process. You're going to change your mentality. You know, if you can give somebody that's been impoverished money, and they're probably going to still be impoverished. Why? Because they have a poverty mentality. You give somebody a lotto win, check it out. Most of them lose it all because of their mentality. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with large sums of money. There's a knack that you say, I could deal with it. No, you probably couldn't. A lot of people don't know how to deal with it because they go crazy. I heard somebody say, when I get that money, I'm going to buy me 3 Rolls Royces. Why? You can only drive one. And why would you want a Rolls Royce when you can get a good Ford? Or a GMC or a Chevrolet. My point is, you don't need it. Now, if you need it, that's one thing. But you really don't need it. And so they start spending money. How about these football players? They get these huge contracts and they go broke. Why? Because they spend on partying and buying things they don't need. And their friends come around with their hands out. Remember this. When you get a lot of money, you're going to have a lot of friends. And when your money's gone, your friends are gone. Ask Mike Tyson. See, God saw something different. What God said he would do, and he performed exactly what he said he was going to do in setting his people free, but they were bound by slavery in their minds. Even though we went through the process of the plagues and how he brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, but they still were slaves in our mind. But they were created not for slavery. Watch this. They were created for the promise. But all they saw in front of them and it was and accepted and got comfortable in was chains. Here's something to focus on. If God has given you a promise, which he has, we've read it. You read it right there in Psalms. If God has given you a promise, which he has, then it's up to you to break free. It's up to you, not me. It's up to you to break free from the mindset of bondage. Those things that keep you from walking into the promise. Listen, we have been here for 40 years. You're going to see how important that what I just said is in the next couple months. You're going to see that after 40 years, there's a cycle. And God says you either get in, get out, or get run over. Because it's God's cycle. It's the way he does things. He says, I want you to change your mindset. I want you to see things differently. Now watch. We have to break free from what I call, is everybody listening to me? Because this is important. We have to break free from what I call the sandal syndrome. Now, I didn't read about this. It's something I'm calling. The sandal, how many people wore sandals today? You could call it a shoe, but I'm going to call it a sandal. A sandal syndrome. They get caught up in that. So, well, could you explain it to me, Bishop? I'm glad you asked. There's a man that ran into some cubs. He rescued, I can't remember, it's 3 or 4 lion cubs. He babied those cubs. He worked with those cubs. They loved him. But they got ornery. Now let me tell you what he did. When they were cubs, he took off his sandal, and when they disobeyed, he bopped them on the nose. He bopped them on the nose. He bopped them on the sandal watch it now, syndrome. He'd bop them on the nose. Fast forward, now these lions have manes and they weigh 500, 600 pounds. And they get in a fight. I'm watching them. These two big boys are fighting. He walks out, pulls his sandal off, and does this, and immediately the lions stop and start going. Now, how many people know that that lion could tear that man from limb to limb? He's out there with them. They could eat him. But they were afraid of the sandal. God, y'all need to get this in your mind. Because that's what the devil's doing to you. That's what flesh is doing to you. Every time you try to get ahead, here comes the sandal. And you start, I ain't kidding you, that's what the lion did. Because of the sandal syndrome. They get caught up with it. We're just like the lion. You don't even know your own strength. You don't know what you can accomplish in faith. You don't know how far you can go, Damon. But here comes the sandal of the enemy. And he starts bopping you. You start blinking and wondering, what in the world am I doing? And he takes over your thoughts. It's time for you to eat the shoe. It's time for you to turn and say, you know what? Wait a minute. I am the king of the jungle. And brother, you pull that shoe off again, I'm going to eat your arm. In other words, you've got the power. You have the ability. God did not create you for less. He created you for more. He didn't create you to fail. He created you for great success. What did I tell you weeks and weeks ago? He created you to dream and then fulfill those dreams, to walk in expectation. Every day of my life, I get up, there's a great expectation. I have great expectation of this day. From this particular day, I have great expectation. I'll just tell you the truth. Because I believe God's going to do something for me and something for us today. So how many people know it's time to break the sandal syndrome? I need to tell this next week because you know what? There's not enough people here to really shout. Because many of y'all have lived under the fear and dread of the sandal. He said, well, I haven't been, Bishop. Well, you sure look whooped. I mean, I'm looking at you. I'm saying, my God, if you're victorious, would y'all mind informing your face? The Bible says we're more than conquerors. We'll get into that maybe in a couple of weeks. But you have to understand what he's saying. Relate this all back to Psalms 27. And you're going to see how real the things he said can be in your life. The Lord is the light. I just love that when he said it to me. I was sitting in the mully grubs, and the Lord said to me, the Lord is the light of your salvation. And I said, well, what's that, God? He says, I know you think it's revelation. He said, but it is. He said, but it's my revealed power. It's your preservation. It's your strength. It's your source. Man, I feel good today. God Almighty. God Almighty. Say God Almighty. God Almighty delivered Israel from slavery. And God Almighty called those people into a new identity, but they just couldn't see it. For 40 years, they kept looking back to their slavery, and it looked better to them than the promised land. Isn't that crazy? You say, well, I wouldn't be that way. Well, you're living that way. I know people that are slaves to drugs. Keep praying to break free from it, but they just can't break free from it. I had a friend that went to this church that was on drugs for 40 years, and on his deathbed he said, you don't understand, Pastor. He said, I've been a drug addict for 40 years and nobody knew it. I knew it. How do you think I didn't know it? I watched you walk in a stupor. You don't think I'm stupid? I was raised in the same area you were. Yes, You're a dope addict. And it killed him. How many times I prayed? Because the mind goes back to the dope. The mind goes back to the alcohol. The mind goes back to illicit relationships. The mind keeps going back, going back, going back. Although he sets you free at the moment of prayer. Are y'all catching that? At the moment of prayer, God set you free. Just like a promise. God, at the moment of prayer, has given you your promise, but you might have to live it out. No, there ain't no might to it. You will live it out. God's called you to a new identity, church. God's called you to be more than, not less than. Greater than, not smaller than. God's called us all to start living in the words that we've ministered. You see, he is the living Christ. He's not the flannel board Jesus. He's the living Christ. Because he's the living Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was that? The power of the only begotten. Jesus Christ. Begotten of God. Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. Matter of fact, he still is the Son of God. Seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's still saying from heaven today, you were created for more. I'm going to give you just a little more, then we're going to leave this place. Because next week I'm going to pick up. This might be the third part. This is the second part of that same message. Not bad, is it? I don't ever want you to forget that. I'm going to bring it up again next week. That sandal syndrome is so real. And I've seen it happen before. Have you ever watched a lion tamer or grizzly bears or whatever? You go into those cages and they have a little whip. That whip don't mean nothing. They could eat you up, but they're afraid of the whip. And it's in here. Our thoughts, say my thoughts. Our thoughts shape our perception of ourselves and the world around us. Our thoughts do that. That's why the Word of God is imperative you to keep it in your heart and your life and in your mind. It's imperative. Because the Lord is the light of your salvation. You need the Word in your life. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So in other words, what you think is vital. This verse literally underscores that what you dwell on internally will manifest externally. It literally says it. I dwell on it, it becomes a reality. I dwell on sickness, you're going to get sick. You dwell on, I'm never going to have enough, I'll guarantee you won't have enough. No matter how much you have, it'll not be enough. Am I right or wrong? I know man right now that's a billionaire. The only one I know that's a billionaire. And he calls me friend. He ain't giving me nothing, but he calls me friend. No. He said, if you ever need anything, give me a call. But I know that comes with strings attached. And I'm not the kind of guy, I'm like my daddy, you're not going to put a string on me. But I notice this about him. In Adam, how much he's got, he wants more. Yeah, I know it's hard for you to believe. But he's five cars, not just any car. Bentleys and Rolls. But he's five jets, four or five jets. What does he need those for? See, he knows he makes money on everything. And I said to him one time, why do you do that? He said, because I love the thrill of the kill. I said, well, I'm one you ain't going to kill. You all think I'm kidding you. I'm telling you the truth before God is my witness. I know exactly what I'm talking about, and that's the truth. It doesn't matter how much he's got, Pat, he wants more. You say, well, I can't understand that because you're not a billionaire. Because, see, it took them a certain mindset to get there. It was grasping, 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 grasping. Nothing wrong with having a lot of money. Just don't let a lot of money change a lot of you. So what you dwell on internally will manifest externally. If you believe you are incapable, if you believe, Floyd, you're incapable, if you believe you're defeated or unworthy, those beliefs will guide your actions. It'll lead you into self-fulfilling prophecies. You'll fulfill your own prophecy by your own thoughts.